All right, it's 9:30. This is Terrence Dressler. I'm the chair of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board. And I will call to order this meeting of the Hearing Board on July 1st, 2022 at 9:30 a.m. Lorena, will you please call the roll?
Dr. Colomé?
Present.
Mr. Cox? Mr. Peters?
Present.
Mr. Saperstein?
Here.
And Chair Dressler?
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right. First item of business is the reconsideration of the circumstances of COVID-19 state of emergency. Lorena, will you please read this item into the record?
Item B, reconsider the circumstances of the COVID-19 state of emergency. One, reconsider the circumstances of the COVID-19 state of emergency. Two, consider whether state or local officials continue to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing. Three, find that the legislative body has reconsidered the circumstances of the state of emergency and that state or local officials can continue to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing. And four, direct staff to continue to notice and hold hearings as remote hearings consistent with Government Code Section 54953E3.
All right. Do we have a member of council here with us?
We do. Paul Lee is on Zoom.
Paul, could you please proceed with your report?
Chair and members of the board, I'm reporting today that the state of emergency remains active and a local public health officer's recommendation to promote social distancing remains in effect. Your board may now continue to meet remotely, provided your board makes the required findings, including that the state of emergency continues to directly impact the ability to meet safely in person.
Thank you, Paul. Are there any questions from board members of council? Hearing none, I will open up public comment. Is there any public comment?
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any public comments.
Then I will close public comment. What's the will of the board? Can I get a motion in a second?
Go ahead and move that we continue to follow the recommendations of the county health official and meet remotely.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Lorena, please call the roll.
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Peters? Mr. Peters? We can't hear you, Mr. Peters. I can come back around, but I think you might be using headphones and we can't hear. Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
Mr. Peters, did you get your audio working? Can't hear you. Oh, we lost him. We still have a quorum. Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. The next item of business is approval of minutes for the May 4th and the June 1st regular meetings. Are there any discussion about the minutes? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Move to approve the minutes.
I have a second.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Lorena, please call the roll.
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Next item is announcements and staff reports. Are there any announcements or staff reports from the district staff?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the hearing board. The district does not have any announcements or staff reports.
All right. The next item is public comment. At this point, I will open the floor to the public for comments on any item under the purview of this hearing board, which are not on today's agenda. Do we have any requests to speak in public comment, Lorraine?
Chair Dressler, we do have one attendee, but we did not receive any public comments.
All right. Just calling out to that one attendee. Do you wish to speak at this time? Not?
I do not see a raised hand.
Okay, I will close public comment period. The next item is public hearings. We have one case today. Lorena, will you please read that item into the record?
Public hearing item F1, case number 2022-05-R, regular variance. To consider a petition for regular variance from District Rules 325E1 and 206, Part 70, Permit to Operate 9108-R4, Conditions 9C9, submitted on May 10th, 2022, for venting gas through the flare header without an emission control device. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Hogan, located offshore lease track OCS, P0166, approximately 8 miles southeast from the city of Santa Barbara, California.
Right, I'm going to administer the oath now. For all witnesses who plan to testify on this case, if you'll raise your right hand, I will administer the oath, and then I'll ask you take turns one at a time to state your name and affirm the oath. Do you solemnly swear to affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
John Garnett, I do.
Keith Winnell, I do.
Amy Long with the district, I do.
Caitlin McNally, I do.
All right, anybody else want to testify? Then all the witnesses have been sworn in. At this time, I'd like to ask the petitioner from Brecon West to make their case. And since we, for this variance, we are going to be required to make the findings, all six findings to approve the variance, I would appreciate it if you made sure that your testimony covers all the findings, which includes testimony that you are or will be in violation, that noncompliance is due to conditions beyond your reasonable control, and would cause and not giving the variance would cause a closing or a taking of the business, that the closing and taking would be without a corresponding benefit of reducing air pollution. You have considered curtailing operations in lieu of obtaining variance, and during the period of the variance is in effect, excess emissions will be reduced to the maximum extent feasible, and also during the period of the variance is in effect, excess emissions can be quantified and or monitored. Again, before you start your presentation, please state your name for the record.
I'll be presenting today, John Garnett, Beacon West Energy Group. Okay.
You can proceed.
You see that?
Not yet.
Oh. The share button. How about that?
There you go.
Woo-hoo. Good morning, everybody. John Garnett with Beacon West Energy Group. Good morning to Chair Dressler, your board, and district staff. Looking forward to the holiday weekend. Thanks for having us this morning. We're here this morning for a situation on Platform Hogan that we've discussed. It's occurred on Platform Houchin, whereby we've experienced some wellhead internal leaks that have pressurized to the point where they are creating fugitive emissions in the well bay and safety hazards. And thereby we need to safely divert those emissions through the flare header instead of exposing our staff. So I'll just go ahead and carry on. So the genesis of this issue is that we are under a regular variance from Rule 331E, the requirements to repair leaks on Platform Hogan, among other requirements. Platform Houchin is under variance from Rule 325 because they needed to safely divert the fugitive emission leaks through the well header. When we first approached the board pushing 2 years ago with our issues on Platforms Hogan and Houchin, which we took over in 2020, we determined the Hogan wells were in better shape than the Houchin wells and weren't leaking externally from a fugitive standpoint. As required by the regular variance issued in January 2022, we initiated soap screening of the well heads to get a better handle on if there actually were fugitive leaks. We were unable to commence method 21 for safety reasons. So soap screening, it was agreed, would be a good screening device. And we did note some leaks, some soap bubbles on the well heads indicating fugitive leaks. And the district came out and did an inspection in May of 2022 and documented that some of these leaks had concentrations in excess to 50,000 parts per million, which is pretty high. We have since, as of last week or this week, initiated in-house method 21 inspections. So we're sort of all on the same page, moving from just detecting leaks to determining concentrations. The level of the leaks found during the district inspection immediately initiated a move toward improving worker safety and diverting the leaks, our need to divert the leaks through the flare header. Instead of having all the wells having their own leaks coming out into the well bay, we depressurized the wells. Nothing comes out of the fugitive emission components, and everything goes out through safely through the well stack in one point. point source, and therefore no worker impact on safety. We will be in violation of Rule 325 because we are now venting gas without a control device. The control device that will be used for Platform Hogan and Houchin is a flare. As the board may be aware, we are in the process of returning the flare to service, making repairs. We are on an increment of progress schedule under the regular variance to return the flare to service by September 30th, 2022. So we anticipate that this variance is needed to bridge us to the return to service date of the flare so we can return to compliance with the rule 3 at that time. But we're not there yet because we're still making repairs on the flare. Any questions so far? So what is the status of the Platform Hogan flare? That's in a bit better condition than the Platform Houchin flare. We are continuing to do engineering and repairs to the Platform Hogan flare, including structural piping and equipment inspection has been completed. We've determined that the flare system piping sections require external corrosion repair and one piping modification to be done still. The flare igniters are currently non-functional and require replacement of the ignition system and modifications to that. We don't have a source of gas to burn a flare pilot. Most platforms use field gas, or if there's no more field gas, they receive gas from an onshore source. We do not have a pipeline for gas from onshore. We are not producing, so we don't have any field gas. So we've determined that we are going to have to use propane bottles, bring them offshore at some volume. So we are engineering process engineering of our flare fuel source, and the associated equipment is going to be needed to bring that flare into service with propane. So we are on track at this point for the flare to return to service as of September 30th, but there's a lot of work happening as we speak. Why can't we just fix the leaks? Well, where are these leaks coming from? The external fugitive leaks are the result of buildup, well gas pressure buildup inside the well, and gas is finding a leak path to the atmosphere. The external leaks found during the Method 21 inspections are and will be evaluated for potential repair and may be repaired if the team determined safe to do so. But some leaks due to the poor condition of the wells can't be repaired until actual well work can be done to kill the well. So these wells are significantly corroded in some spots. And you could imagine if there's a flange that had a nut on it, a bolt and a nut, and you tried to tighten that nut of a rusted well head, and it may crack the whole feature and increase the emissions and create potentially more of a safety hazard. So we will try to repair leaks when we're able to do so. But if we can't, this variance will cover us from any fugitive emissions that we currently have the variance for and from venting the emissions. The platform currently is not in a condition to support a well team to come out and do the well work needed at this point. So we're continuing to do repairs to the platform, and construction activities are underway to enable safe ultimate well P&A program activities. So we're going to go through the findings here. We are in violation of Rule 325D1, which is the requirement to have a vapor recovery system for all produced gas. You know, as previously mentioned, the flare is our vapor recovery system, and we're repairing that. So our response to finding number one is that the flare return to service commissioning process is ongoing. The piping repairs the non-functioning components and fuel system process engineering continues. Once completed, the flare will return to service on September 30th. Finding number two, beyond the applicant's reasonable control, that would result in an unreasonable taking of property or closing of business. Our response is the platform is currently non-operational pending decommissioning. Closure of the monitoring and maintenance activities will delay control of emissions and safe decommissioning of the platform. The platform was left in disrepair and unattended by the previous operator, resulting in significant deterioration of the platform and equipment. The ongoing platform inspection and repairs continue in 2022 in order to make platforms safe for future well plug and abandonment activities and to meet required increments of progress under the regular variance, including the operational flare, no later than September 30th. Finding number three, such a taking is without corresponding benefit in air pollution. Were we not able to safely divert these emissions through the flare stack? The platform is no longer producing. All wells are shut in pending well plug and abandonment. We're currently under a variance from Rule 331E, which is the fugitive emission requirement to repair leaks. If we did not divert these emissions through the flare stack, they'd be coming out through the wellhead and into the well bay in the same volumes, ultimately. So there would be no reduction in emissions with any taking as a result. Due to the remote offshore location, there's no potential impact to the public. So in essence, these leaks, these emissions would be occurring anyway through the wellheads as fugitive leaks from which we have a variance for already. We're petitioning for this variance to create a safer environment and vent them all through one point source away from our own workers. Finding number four, the applicant considered curtailing operations in lieu of a variance. The platform isn't in operation anymore. There aren't any operations or production to curtail. It's being prepared for well plug and abandonment facility decommissioning. So any curtailing to the current monitoring and maintenance program would not reduce emissions from these leaks. It would just put everything on stop. Finding number five, the applicant will reduce emissions to the maximum extent feasible. Again, the facility is no longer in production. These are the emissions that we're talking about here solely. We did commence Method 21 inspections in June, so it's going to help us define the leak concentrations, have a little better handle on the leak quantities, volumes, and concentrations. We will be able to determine the leak volumes once we collect all the leaks together and divert them through the flare stack with Amoeba. Repairs will be made if determined safe, and it's determined that repairs will cause no further damage to the wells. Finding number six, the applicant will monitor and record emissions. Yes, excess emissions will be reported on a monthly basis, similar to how we've been doing for the Houch and Flair stack for the last year or so. We've already commenced reporting that for, I believe, May. We started this venting subsequent to submitting the petition, the interim and regular petitions for this action in May. Just to give a little more color to this, we bleed down the wells for the amount of time needed to get the wells down to no pressure, and then we monitor the well pressures. And anytime they build up to a pressure which would indicate there may be fugitive leaks, the wells are bled down again. So typically it's several hours per day per well as needed to maintain the well pressures at or near zero. So the emissions are all being vented through the flare stack, and therefore all the excess emissions are through the flare stack and more easy to monitor. Implicit findings. Operation will not be a nuisance. We've ceased production. There's limited equipment operation. We basically got on Platform Hogan, we've got one crane that's operating. We've got some boats that are supporting the activities. And then we've got these leaks. The remote offshore location certainly ensures that there's no nuisance potential here. Other requirements to guarantee expeditious compliance with emission standards and increments of progress. So all of our activities and monitoring and maintenance activities out there are progressing on schedule to enable well plug abandonment activities expected to commence in 2023, which will ultimately eliminate the emissions in question. Speaking of questions, we are here if you have them.
All right, why don't I first go to the board and ask any board members if they have any questions of the applicant.
I have several clarifying questions. So the 50,000 parts per million, that is a fairly high concentration. In fact, it's right at the lower explosive limit for methane. And I take it there's no clear idea, because you're not putting this through the flare stack and you don't have a flow meter, you don't know what the flux is. So we're not, it's not clear at all at this point what the volume of gas at that 50,000 ppm is that correct?
I believe we do have an operational flare meter, sir.
Oh, so you actually can at this point calculate the total flux of VOCs.
Gas that's being diverted through the flare head calculations based on gas composition as to what the excess emissions are.
Okay, my understanding was that these were fugitive emissions and that it was not yet going through the stack. Is that incorrect?
That's incorrect. We in anticipation of this ideally variance being granted, we started for safety reasons diverting through the flare header and maintaining lower pressures on the wells in May. So everything now is calculable from a volume standpoint, whereas if they're coming as fugitive leaks, it would be impossible to calculate the volume of gas being emitted by the fugitives.
Oh, that's good to know. I couldn't tell that from the application. And so clearly, I mean, I can understand that this is an issue largely for worker safety at the location of the fugitive emissions. It's, you know, to avoid there being a fire or explosion where your workers are working. Do you have any data yet on what the flux is?
Can you elaborate on what you mean by that question?
Oh, I mean, you said that you do have an operational flow meter. So my question is, do we have any idea of how many cubic meters of VOC emissions are now going through the pipe?
I don't have that prepared at this moment, but we did report the initial venting emissions in the May the May variance update. We don't anticipate it's going to be as much as Platform Hauchin, but we are able to calculate the standard cubic feet per month that are being vented to the flare stack and a calculation of excess emissions based on the gas composition. I would speculate, sir, that it's probably just several tons of VOC per month based on what Hauchin's been reporting and what Hogan is supposed to be somewhat less than that.
Okay, and just a couple more questions about the monitoring. The district staff that came out May 4th, was that a Method 21 that they used or a PID sniff detector?
It was Method 21. They actually come out with a FLIR camera and look for leaks, and then they zoom in when the FLIR indicates some type of leak, and then they determine the concentration with an OVA.
Okay, and you have the equipment now for conducting your own Method 21 on the platform?
We hire a contractor to do that monthly.
Okay, those are my questions.
Further questions from the hearing board?
Just on the decommissioning calendar, so you said that will start in earnest in 2023, and how long does that take?
Estimate a couple years. Keith might want to weigh in on that.
Board Member Seperstein, are you referring to the overall platform decommissioning or just the ability to start well work?
Oh, why don't you maybe just give us a summary of both?
Okay, so, pardon me. For starting well work, right now the tentative plan, and it's likely to change, is somewhere in 2023 would be the earliest time where we could start any well work. There's a lot of work that's currently ongoing on the platform. We're still working on cranes. There's a lot of deck plating, handrails, stairways that have to be replaced for safety reasons. We're still working on the potable water system and the marine sanitation systems. There's no onboard bathrooms, if you will. We're still using porta potties that we're putting on and off the boat. Fire water system is still in very poor condition. We're working on the engineering associated with that. The helideck's out of service and will not be returned to service. And we still have to deal with what to do with the rig. We've got to get the rig off the platform before we can do any well work. So there's a lot of work still to be done. But right now, all that work is currently planned and prescribed on into 2023. And most of that work has to be done before we can start any well work. So we're probably looking at, you know, third quarter of 2023, likely for any kind of well work going on. And then sort of platform decommissioning would happen well after the well work is done. So you're looking at another, you know, another year and a half after the well work starts for platform type decommissioning.
We seem to have lost John.
Well, hopefully he'll get back on as soon as he can.
So are there any further questions of the applicant by the board member? Okay, hearing none, are there any questions for staff? I have two questions. One, my standard question, does staff support this variance?
Yes, staff supports this variance.
My second question is, I think I've asked this before, but I think the answer I got was that you were looking into it. Is the previous owner, does the previous owner of this platform still have any liability for all these excess emissions? As far as legal liability, could they be fined?
We've not been successful in holding the previous owner liable for any outstanding issues.
And there's a legal reason. I mean, there's the lawyer.
We've worked with our district council on this and not had any success. So yeah, it's gone through legal.
So somehow legally they have, that previous owner has some sort of immunity to ongoing.
I don't think it's a legal immunity. I think it's a dissolution of the company, but they may still actually be a company with the Secretary of State, but just that they've dissolved and there's no responsible party to respond.
Okay. All right. Those are my questions. Are there further questions of staff? All right, then I will open public comment on this issue. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak on this issue?
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any public comment and there are no raised hands on Zoom.
All right, then I'm gonna close public comment on this issue, on this case, and I'm going to bring it back to the board for discussion and potential motions. Please, if you're going to make a motion, make sure that you address the fact that we the board has heard enough evidence in order to make all the findings.
Chair, I move to approve the variance based on the statements of staff and the applicant. I believe we have sufficient facts supporting the findings we're required to make to issue the variance.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Lorena, please call the roll.
Dr. Colome?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Then they have a variance. All right. The next item is to approve the administrative agenda. Does any hearing board member want to pull any item off the administrative agenda? And if not, do I have a motion to approve the administrative agenda?
I'll move the administrative agenda.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, Lorena, would you please call the roll?
Chair Dressler, we do have to open this up for public comment.
Okay, I will open this up for public comment.
We did not receive any public comments and there are no raised hands on Zoom.
Thank you for keeping me honest, Lorena. I will close public comment. okay, I have a motion and a second on the floor. Call the roll, please.
Dr. Colome?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, so we have made the findings necessary for to meet remotely. We will have to schedule a special meeting on or before August 1st, 2022 to reconsider the circumstances so that we can continue to do this. I will work with Lorena and we will come up with a date for that meeting. In that case, I will adjourn the meeting to whenever that is determined.
Thank you, Chair Dressler.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye all. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.